Il-program li ser tisimaw huwa miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri, inviting you to discover what research, projects and events are taking place at the University of Malta. I'm very pleased to welcome to the Campus FM studio today for University Matters two university students who have participated in the Benjamin Franklin Transatlantic Fellowship. They are Christina Chafai, who is reading for a degree in European Studies, who went on the fellowship in 2012, and Jacob Portelli, who's reading for a Bachelor of Laws, and he went last year, 2013. But before turning to them, well, first of all, welcome to you both.
Thank you.
But before turning to you, perhaps I know that the experience must have been absolutely fascinating. I'll just give some basic information about this fellowship opportunity, just to put the fellowship a little bit in context. The US Embassy invites every year Maltese youths between the ages of 16 and 18 to submit a nomination for the 2014 this year, of course, Benjamin Franklin Transatlantic Fellowship, which will be held in the summer of 2014. The idea of this fellowship is to foster relations among the younger generations of Europeans and Americans in order to advance concepts such as global freedom and build relationships between youths, advance shared values in the light of global challenges of the 21st century. The initiative is named after the American statesman and diplomat Benjamin Franklin. About 35 Europeans, including one participant from Malta every year, and 10 Americans will participate in this intensive 3 to 4 week exchange program in the United States. And the students we'll be speaking to, as I said, have already participated. Benjamin Franklin himself, we know him chiefly from the history books as being the Franklin who was elected to the Second Continental Congress and worked on the draft of the Declaration of Independence, the most important American document. Before that, however, he had an extremely busy and at times difficult and interesting life. Having eventually made his money, he dedicated his time to developing ways of developing fire protection in Philadelphia. He did experiments, made experiments in electricity, including his famous kite experiment, which we see often in picture books. Once a convinced Englishman, he reversed his opinion eventually and moved on to favour a break from England for America and became one of the fathers of the new nation. He spent many years living in England and toing and froing from England to back to America, and hence his being nominated as the fellowship, the person behind the name of the fellowship being Transatlantic Fellowship. He spent many years doing that, and then he eventually, after the declaration was signed, he went as ambassador to France to the court of Louis XVI. To his credit, it should be said that one of his last acts was to write an anti-slavery treatise. That was in 1789, and it is said that 20,000 people attended his funeral. So, having put Benjamin Franklin in context, I turn to you, young people, who have picked up the baton of international understanding between modern-day Europe and America. Perhaps ladies first, I should turn to you, Christina, and ask you, what really made you apply for this fellowship?
I was in my second year at sixth form at De La Salle College in Brugge, and whilst there I had always had a keen interest in international affairs. I had participated in Euroscuola, which was an opportunity in Strasbourg. I also took part in Mini European Assembly, so all the opportunities that came my way which were related to international events, I was definitely one of the first people applying. Dr. Portelli, who was our principal, Jacob as well, was an ex-Lasallian, had approached me and mentioned this particular opportunity and encouraged me to apply. He said that the school would nominate me as one of the school's nominees. And I went for it, and honestly, I've never looked back since then. It's a fantastic opportunity.
And you, Jacob?
Much like Christina, I've always been involved in these leadership roles, such as the Council, the La Salle Sixth Form Council, and Euroscuola. And in my second year at De La Salle College, Dr. Portelli approached us and nominated me and said, and after that I just researched a bit about it and I was just struck by it and I wanted to participate in it definitely.
Well, yes, I can imagine being attracted. I certainly at that age I would have been myself, that's for sure. Where did you go when you went? Did you both go to the same place, Christina?
Yes, it started off with a week based at Wake Forest University in North Carolina. It was a month-long program, end of June to end of July. And following that, we spent around a 13-hour coach ride all the way up to Philadelphia. Where we spent 4 days. Beyond that, we went up to Washington, D.C. Again, another very long coach ride, but certainly one which was worth it, where we spent 6 days in Washington, then back to North Carolina to spend a week with a host family, and then the final week was spent on campus back at Wake Forest.
And why did they send you to these various places? You were with the other European participants, weren't you, at that time?
It was the entire group which traveled to all the places. Philadelphia is important because of the National Constitution Center. So the highlight of our weekend in Philadelphia was visiting the Constitution Center, learning about the drafting of the American Constitution, and events, important events related to it at the time. Washington DC is obviously the nation's capital, where we visited the the Department of State, which actually funded the whole trip. We had a simulation at the Department of State. We had the opportunity to just, you know, sort of mull around Washington, have a look at the White House, and actually go into the White House.
But you were staying close by?
Yes, we were staying at the George Washington University, which was around 2 to 3 blocks away. I had the opportunity of visiting the Maltese Embassy in Washington, which was a very, very patriotic moment. And then back to North Carolina.
And what do you remember? What are the moments that you remember with the greatest enthusiasm?
The thing is, you're seeing something on TV and a documentary in a movie, and then when you're actually there with new friends you have just built a relationship with, representing your country there, it's just incredible seeing those monuments, those buildings, things which are featured in almost every important thing, and US being an international power, seeing everything there is just, it changes your life, it motivates you, and that's one of the things, a positive thing about the program, that once you're back in Malta, you're motivated, you want to be an active citizen, it gives you that spark inside of you, which is hard to explain, but it just motivates you to do things, as we are doing right now.
Mm-hmm. What about going to places like, did you go to the Jefferson Monument?
I mean, there are monuments that you pass by, so it's not just a question of going there, it's just seeing it.
Because people say that when they go to that monument, particularly with the quotations on the wall.
With the quotations on the wall.
I mean, we had some free time on our hands where we could travel around with our friends, and so we're usually into groups. And for example, one time we went on a bike ride around D.C., and we went to the Lincoln Memorial, we went to the World War II Memorial, and seeing those things there in front of your eyes, like I said, is just incredible.
And obviously D.C. is a hotspot for culture as well. I mean, there's the African American Museum, which, again, in your free time, these are things that you look up beforehand and you just make it a point to go. We had spent at least around 4 or 5 hours at the Holocaust Museum. And again, these are things that the program pushes forward, and you think, oh my god, 4 to 5 hours in a museum, but whilst you're there with the sort of crowd, the vibe in the group of students, it's something that you just take into your stride and you enjoy every minute of it.
Sometimes with your group of friends in Malta, it's hard to find someone who's exactly like you, but there you all have the same mentality, that leadership role and instinct inside of you and teamwork which you want to build up upon. So instantly, as soon as we met at the airport, all of us, I mean, it's a shock at first, like, I don't know anyone, I have to spend a month with them, but exactly there you have that string attached together where it just brings up exactly brings up this relationship, and that's why it's an amazing opportunity for everyone with this type of this opportunity.
What about there was the study part and the fun part? What about the study part?
You think it's a study part, exactly. I mean, personally speaking, my birthday is on the 2nd of July, and on that day I had a class. I had never experienced anything of the sort because it's normally the summer here, but I mean, you don't actually see it as a study part because the classes are very interactive. It's it's a discussion. It isn't a question of going there, listening to a lecturer, a professor from a very prestigious university in the US, after all, sort of talk at you. It's, after all, it's they need the Europeans especially to give in their input and contextualize the subject with experiences from back home. So it's a very much a question of, sure, you're in a lecture hall, you're sitting down, there's a lecturer in front of you, but there's a, it's a two-way flow of information. Whereas on the other hand, the fun part, I would call it, is the where the simulations. So I believe even Jacob experienced the same exercise. Simply four countries called North, South, East, West, given different characteristics, and you just have to negotiate on an international level based on those characteristics. You can't change them, you just have to work around them. And that's really putting everything into practice, which is was quite entertaining, actually. So it was fun.
And as Christine mentioned, the simulation, then we went on a NATO simulation organized by the Department of State, and much like that, it's with actual countries and GDPs and all the economy levels and everything. And you have to, as well here, to negotiate international conflicts, since you're actually put in the seats of your ministers and your prime ministers, and you have to debate and find a resolution between everything.
And it's really your country, the position that your country is in at the moment really affects it. So, for instance, when we were at the Department of State in 2012, Greece was hitting the international headlines, if not every day, then every other day. And the Greek fellow happened to be one of the youngest ones. He was 15, turning 16 at the program itself. So he was one of the youngest ones. On top of it all, he was representing Greece. So he just wasn't taken seriously. And it really shows you how you can put as much practice and as much enthusiasm, and you can feel as patriotic as you want, but ultimately you are constrained by the characteristics or the situation of your country. And it really puts you in the shoes of heads of government, or at least the representatives of the government. You just constrain. As a Maltese fellow there, and as a person who's particularly vocal about her opinions, it was hard, sort of not being taken as seriously as the other countries, simply because we're a smaller country.
We were underestimated, and at first was a challenge for us Maltese students. But once we've shown that we're here, we want to voice our opinion. Mm-hmm. So listen to us. You know, we show them that we mean business in a sort of way.
Exactly.
It says on the list of things they purport to give these students, you know, this critical thinking, tolerance, respect for diversity, youth leadership. So from what you're saying, it sounds as though they do really channel your activities in that direction.
Definitely, definitely.
This young leaders of the future, you can say.
Exactly.
That sort of way, that's the way they want to shape it, to put it in that context.
Also, I believe one of the main advantages of the program is that, I believe that ever since Malta entered the European Union, our idea of Europe is very much constrained to the 28 countries, which are the member states. Whereas this program gives the opportunity for countries outside the EU to send their own representatives. So we have people from Georgia, Azerbaijan, there was Switzerland, Norway, Iceland, Ukraine, Belarus, countries where I wouldn't say their values are a completely different scale to ours. However, where maybe enforcement of certain respect for certain values and tolerance isn't quite up to the same level as in the EU, mentioning maybe Belarus, Ukraine to give some examples, and therefore hearing about their experiences from that perspective really gives you a very realistic dimension of what the world's challenges really are. Because sure, we hear about them on the news, maybe through the lens of the Western media, but listening to the actual experiences of citizens of those countries is a very different experience.
And on this point, for example, even when now something happens in a country, you know, you met a fellow there, you just ask them, is everything okay? Mm-hmm. Can we help you in some way? And for example, when I was there, we had the immigration problem. So I was reading about it on the newspapers, and I'm like, okay, guys, so what do you think about this? What's the context and perspective from your country, from your views? And even, not just Europe, even the American citizens, they have immigration problems of their own. So what is your perspective on this? What should Malta do? What do you think at least Malta should do? Remember that we are constrained with the size of our country.
Resources.
With the limited resources we have. And so you can get the perspective, like Christina said, from the other participants.
Mm-hmm.
What about the American students? They say there are 10 American students as well that participate. Mm-hmm. That must have been interesting to see their point of view as well.
Definitely one of the more interesting aspects of the fellowship. I think in Malta especially, I was surprised at the degree of polarization between Democrats and Republicans, for instance. In Malta, we have a very politically charged society. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised to find that, again, since they were people with the same interests, fellows with the same interests as ours, of course, they're going to bring out that dimension. My fellowship was in the run-up to the 2012 elections, so that distinction between Democrats and Republicans was even more pronounced. And I suppose that they, in turn, were also surprised at the degree of polarization in a very small society such as ours. And it really goes to show how we can be half a world apart, but certain values and certain trends in society are mimicked all over the world.
What about living with the family? Because that must be a whole new dimension. I mean, you're used to being in a lecture room, you're used to perhaps going around museums, but living with the family, I think for a Maltese student in particular, where we're so very much home based,
yes,
that must have been a bit of a culture shock, perhaps.
I mean, you get to see the culture, the American culture, firsthand because you're experiencing it with a family. But one thing which I was surprised that there isn't an American exact culture, because they're all coming from different ethnic groups. And I was surprised. I'm like, okay, so you're American. I'm Korean American. I'm Chinese American.
True.
African American. I'm like, okay, is there an American? There particularly isn't an actual American. But with the home families, for example, I got the opportunity to go to Virginia as well, on top of the other countries mentioned. But in one of the families, because I stayed with two home families, they had their own children. So you get to participate and talk with these children and see the different culture views and perspectives.
How they grow up.
Exactly.
Inspirations.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, and you keep in contact. For example, a month ago, a German participant came to Malta and we had a reunion. So we're always talking about when we can meet each other. Exactly. So it's a fantastic opportunity.
What about your family?
My home family, they were a rather elderly couple. So their daughter was mostly took care of us and took us around. But one of the experiences I had there, just, you know, on a Saturday afternoon going hiking in a national park, and the national park is massive. And it isn't a flat plain, the national park we have in Malta, the one in Taali. So
it's a bit different
because if anything, it's actually hiking and there are brooks and streams and it's just a contained nature reserve, which you wouldn't even think about it being a weekend activity in Malta. On top of it all, I got to experience some very American cooking, which is delicious, albeit fattening. Prolonged consumption of the same cuisine doesn't do you good in the long run. But it was yet again another interesting, fascinating another fascinating aspect of it all.
And what about voluntary work? Did you manage to do any voluntary work? Because that seems to be included in the program.
I had to plant flowers and everything.
Oh, yeah, the environment one, isn't it?
Environment.
We both, it seems we both picked the environment workshop. I had to plant tomatoes.
And where did you do that?
They have a field. Which is sort of managed by volunteers, and then they took us on as additional volunteers. But it was, we think Malta's hot, but over there the humidity is incredible. The air is so dense. Temperature must have been similar to Malta, and at noon
and
with the air plowing a field.
Washington was
incredibly hot.
Too much.
Plowing a field, I mean, planting
that
tomatoes.
That must have been rather a new experience for you. Plowing a field.
No, neither did I before I actually had to do it. Another initiative we took on was the We Want Water campaign. So there's a website online where you could start your own water campaign, encourage people to donate, and then the money donated would then be channeled to a particular project of your own choice. So it was, we watched a documentary, I remember, where it provided a few statistics of how difficult it was for women to access a clean, safe, sustainable and reliable source of water in Africa. And that the distance that they had to travel was equivalent to a large jerry can of water that needed to be carried around every day, for 3 hours every day. So what we did was to encourage the other fellows who weren't in our workshop to donate, we bought jerry cans of water, which we chained to our arms, and we walked around campus with them all day. And that was something which I can't really imagine sort of the university, something along the same lines happening in the University of Malta, because it was very, it was a very tangible sort of campaign, very active sort of campaign.
It sounds quite tough. Huh?
It was because this handcuff literally around your arm and around the jerry can, you just have to carry it around all day just to prove a point.
But it gets the job done.
It gets the job done because people did donate.
You have to show them, you know. For example, our team for my year was social entrepreneurship, so charitable events, how as well you can make a profit from charitable events and then in turn continue giving to charity. As for example, we had a group, it was called Foresight Future, where it's an organization where they help entrepreneurs want to be charitable, what type of charity they should participate in, how should they partake
tools.
In it, the tools they need, the promotion they need. So it was good. Even there was one where they get homeless children, they feed them, and they're talented. Like for example, they're good dancers, they're good singers. And they put them up on a stage, and we went to actually see them for a show, and then we had a party as well with them. And you actually see this massive talent, and the way they want to participate, but they can't. And so they're giving them a second opportunity, a second chance
to show how, had it not been that opportunity, all of that talent would just simply not have been recognized.
So what are the things that you do remember? I mean, other activities that you participated in?
Not an actual activity, but what I can say is when I was roaming around Washington with my friends, went to an antiques shop, and we were just speaking with two people. And they ended up being MPs of the United Kingdom over there. And so we're speaking about, and I spoke to them about the immigration problem as well. I'm like, what do you think about this? Can you help us? They just didn't exactly know what to say. And that's the part which struck me, because they're UK MPs. Why can't they help the Maltese citizens? Why they didn't even know about it? So that's why we have to push forward. We have to show them that we mean business. And that's, the program is one thing which motivates you to do that. So that's one thing which definitely was amazing.
One of the things that they mention in the blurb about this fellowship is that they are trying to create tomorrow's leaders. I mean, it's a bit of a cliche to say that, but I mean, it is true. But they also want you to come back and really utilize the kind of information you've received, the motivation you've received in doing things in your own country. It could be Belarus or Ukraine or Malta. Do you feel that, obviously, given the time constraints students have, do you think you've managed to do that?
Personally speaking, BFTF and the inspirational contacts I made there really inspired me to come back to Malta and make sure that I do give back to Maltese society. I'm involved in quite a number of organizations, both on campus and off campus, Jeff Malta being one over here, Maltimore Society being a society which I set up with Hillary, who is also an alumni of this fellowship, off campus. This summer, my friend, this is actually great, my friend from Slovakia, who also visited me last summer here, it's a friendship which we've kept up, has succeeded in obtaining a grant from the US Embassy in Slovakia in conjunction with the Bratislava Council to set up a week-long project for alumni of all US department programs in Slovakia next summer. And that is something that she and I are collaborating on and organizing over there. So it's just one example of where this fellowship could take you, not only just making international friendships, but then also meeting students who took part in other programs who can be just as inspiring.
That's true. MUSA.
On top of that, exactly, the United States Embassy in Malta has an alumni association called MUSA for all alumni of any programs related to the U.S., which the United States Embassy was involved in. And on the board, at least, there are lawyers who were ex-ambassadors,
judges,
members of parliament, anyone who's ever taken part in any program is part of this alumni association. And that is also a great opportunity for us, because BFTF is the program which appeals to the youngest, younger members of society, to meet influential people in Maltese society through such opportunities. And therefore, really, the baton is really being passed on from generation to the next. And today's leaders are automatically inspiring what could possibly, who could possibly be tomorrow's leaders.
We're the youngest members in the board of directors of the association. So we can say that they're leading us then to continue this association. But even seeing that, like Christina mentioned, judges, magistrates, lawyers,
business people,
very influential people in Maltese society, seeing that they were part of the, they're part of the association, and we can relate to them, that we as well took part in an American fellowship. Mm-hmm. So you can relate to that matter with the other people as well.
In the time that we have left, perhaps we can suggest to young people between 16 and 18 that they actually apply for this fellowship.
Definitely.
I'm sure that both of you would make a very short appeal to those potential fellowship.
We are. Which is why the US Embassy is really doing its utmost to make sure that it is adequately publicized, and Jacob and I are more than happy to get the message out there and to encourage as many people to apply as possible.
And to be active in society.
And even, definitely, to go the step further and really make sure that whether they go there or not, to take that step and be influential in Maltese society too.
No, it's definitely a program you should experience, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, which continues strengthening your values and maybe some things which you can't actually talk about with your friends here. You meet other people there which have the same views, the same perspectives.
And think of innovative ways to bring the subject up back home.
Absolutely. The deadline, I might say, for application is Friday, 28th February. So young people out there, think about it quickly. Access the American Embassy website, which is easily found on Google, and make her application as soon as possible. And the best of luck to everybody. And I'd like to thank the two students who came today, Christina Cefai and Jacob Portelli, for coming to talk to us on Campus FM University Matters to tell us about this wonderful experience they've had. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to University Matters on Campus FM. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye. Il-program li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.